Thought it was so nice to hear those pieces of thanksgiving, especially the one where it said thank you for all the little people. And in my head, it goes, oh, it's so nice. Somebody says thank you for Kristen. She's my sister, so I got to get after her a little bit and give her a hard time. But I am very thankful, and I'm very thankful for you guys. You guys support me in the ministry that I'm on with Youth for Christ, and I'm very thankful for that, and that you guys are behind me, that you're praying for what's going on, and really that you have my back. So before we get in, I'm going to give a little bit of an update on kind of what's going on, what's been moving up there. So we have a building. That is probably the biggest exciting thing right now is that beside the high school in Lower Sackville, just down the road, Josiah wants to come up, my little son. beside the high school in Lower Sackville, there was a Salvation Army church, and Mark has been praying to be able to get into that location, to be able to do ministry, and to be able to serve the youth in the high school and the youth in the community from that building for 5 years. Since he really started with his role, Mark Baker being my boss in Lower Sackville, he's been praying for that building. He's seen that God will use that building, that we can do a lot of things out of that location. And this past week, we were handed over the keys to be able to use half of that building to be able to do a number of different ministries out of it. And for the months coming up, they're actually going to let us use it for free. So no rent, nothing like that. They want to be able to see us get in the doors and start doing ministry. So that being said, it was sad to see, well, not really shutting down of the Salvation Army Church there. They did a restructure, which allowed them to still operate to the same capacity, just out of a different location. So praise God. Other than that, we're going to be getting into some schools. We've been spending the past couple weeks brainstorming, thinking up ways that we can go into the school to do our gym pack program again, make it a lot of fun for the kids, and just have an hour with each class, each grade in the junior highs in the area, and just be able to show them a fun time, a positive time, and to really be able to show them the love that Jesus has for them. So again, that's just something of an update there for you guys. But I'm not going to spend all my time on that because I've got something that I feel that God's just laid on my heart here this morning. The Thanksgiving, it was great to hear what it was that you guys were thankful for, the different ways that you were thankful for family, for the church body, for what it was that God's been doing in your life, all of these things that we're thankful for. And it's great getting to this time of year, to Thanksgiving, to have that time to sit down around a table or sit down here and just be able to share what it is that we're thankful for. To get the words out of our mouth to say, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. But a question that I have for you guys is, what about the rest of the year? Is this something that you guys wait for this time of year for Thanksgiving weekend to be able to share what it is that you're thankful for? Or do you find other holidays, other times where you can share what it is that you're thankful for? And the next thing is, what do we do with our Thanksgiving? What do we do with it? Is it something that it's just the end of the road of we just say, we're thankful for what it is that's happened? I'm thankful that my wife puts up with me each and every day. Do I leave it there? Or do I do something with it? Do I maybe pay them back, whoever it is? If I'm thankful to somebody, do I pay them for what it is that they've done for me? Do I give them money? Do I give them a gift card? Do I give them some sort of present? Or do I repay the act in some way? And that could be the case. Maybe that's something that you want to do to show just how much you appreciate what it is that they're doing for you. Or is it something that deep down inside that we are intentional about letting the thanksgiving that we have with that person, with that relationship, the thanks that we have for whatever the situation may be, allow it to change the relationship that we have with that person or those people? That seems like something that's so simple, but can also be so difficult. So what about the things that God does for you? What about the things that God has done in your life, the way that he's worked, the way that if you're saved here, if you've trusted that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and that he's paid for your sins, there's no way that we can pay back what it is that God's given us. There's no way that we can make that payment. So really, what it is that we need to do is allow the thanksgiving that we have for what it is that God's done in our lives today and what God's done for us 2,000 years ago and beyond. We need to allow that to affect the relationship that we have with God. We need to allow this thanksgiving to turn into faith, to turn into trust that he's had our back before and he will have our back in the future. But where does your faith come from? Your faith and your trust in God. What do you allow to really affect the faith that you have? Is it scripture? Do you look at what it says in the Bible and allow the words that are in there to really affect what it is that you have for faith? The stories that are in there, the people that are in there that you can learn from, that you can figure out what's right or what's wrong or what not to do. What about others in your life? Other people that you look up to, other people like pastors, like your elders, like those people that you respect, that you know just have that solid relationship with God and that you trust what it is that they say, that, you know, you should believe and you should have faith and you should trust God because of this. And I will say that those are great things. Those are great ways to be able to learn and to be able to gain faith and be able to gain trust. But what about your personal experiences with God? What about the things that you've seen of how God's worked in your life, of how God has changed your life, of how God has provided when it just seemed like there wasn't any way to get through? Do you allow those situations to change the way that you feel and you think about God and the faith that you have? Do you allow it to stay in your brain and to remember it when times get hard? So this morning, what I want to do is I want to turn to Exodus. So if you guys want to flip open a Bible, if you want to grab your phone and search it up on your phone, whether it's through the internet or through the Bible app or whatever, I'm sorry to say that I don't have the scripture to go up on the screen behind me, but I hope you'll be able to follow along. So first off, I want to go to Exodus 3, 13 to 15. And I want to share this little tidbit of a conversation that God and Moses are having through a burning bush. Yes, in case you haven't heard the story, you heard me right, a burning bush. There was a voice coming out of a burning bush. I don't think Moses was crazy. He may have been a couple screws loose, but that's what we have here that actually happened. So, all right, 3:13, it says, "But Moses protested, 'If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them?' God replies to Moses, 'I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered for all generations. The reason why I wanted to start here, and I hope you'll bear with me because through this next little bit, hey, you guys are like fancy. My good. That's a magician back there. I'm going to brag that I'm related to that guy. So that guy, Darren Robinson, relation to me. I know I'm a celebrity now, so. So, the reason why I wanted to start here, and I hope you'll bear with me as we kind of summarize through Exodus as we get going. But I wanted to start here because this really showcases that this is the first interaction that the people of Israel as a whole get a real glimpse into who God is. This is his big reveal. God is showing the people of Israel really for the first time who he is and his absolute and awesome power. They didn't have Genesis like we know it today. They didn't know the entire story from creation to the time that they're at right now. They would have heard stories of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob, and they would have heard some of these stories to know, and that's why they get referenced here. But they wouldn't have seen the whole picture. They wouldn't have what we have here today. And they've been stuck in Egypt for so long that they probably felt like they were abandoned, like they were forgotten, like God didn't care about them anymore. That's probably what they was going on in their head, is like, well, maybe we were special to God at some point, but it doesn't seem like that's the case anymore. But what God tells him here, what God tells Moses to go and say to the people of Israel is basically, watch me. I am who I am. You're going to know me by what I'm going to do to bring Israel out of Egypt. The way that I'm going to work, the way that I'm going to show you my power is the name that is going to be remembered. That's what I want you guys to remember for generation to generation to generation. I am who I am. He's saying in this case, watch what I'm going to do and let that stick in your mind. Let that be what you're thankful for. And when we get further down the road, it becomes, remember what I did. I am who I am. What I did in Egypt, I can do again. So to go forward, I'm going to summarize really quickly. The way that God brought them out of Egypt was through 10 plagues. One plague after another, God brings on the people of Egypt. And yet each time, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Pharaoh's heart is hardened and he doesn't let the people go. The people are stuck in Egypt. The people are stuck in Egypt until finally we get to the 10th plague. And the 10th plague is the death of every firstborn male, whether it's human, whether it's animal, in the land of Egypt. But he gives a way out for the people of Israel. He allows them to partake in this feast, where they take a lamb, they slaughter it, they do a number of different things with the blood, with the meat, with everything else. And because of all this, they're passed over from what is about to happen. I know it seems ridiculous to slap some blood around and eat a lamb and everything's going to be okay, but that is what God asked them to do. And for all those who obeyed and who trusted what it was that God was going to do was saved from having the firstborn male in their family die. And through this, Pharaoh let the people of Israel go and leave the land. They were free from slavery. That bondage that was there before has been broken. God has done something that has been around for hundreds of years for the Israelites, and they were allowed to go as free people. A free nation. And the Passover then becomes this way that God keeps in place of I want you to do this every year so that you remember what it is that I've done, so that you remember that this was how I showed my glory to you, how I showed my power, how I showed my authority, how I showed that none of the Egyptian gods, how the biggest superpower in the time in that area could do nothing against God's power and glory. He wanted them to remember that. And he wanted them to be thankful and for that not to just be empty thanksgiving. He wanted it to be something that would turn into faith, that he would have their back in the future, that he would carry them through whatever situation would come before them. And what I want us to do now is to turn to Exodus 14, and I'm going to read through verses 1 to 16. And at this point, so the Israelites, they left Egypt. God takes them on kind of a route that's all around everywhere so that they didn't have to face a whole lot of confrontation on their journey. And he gives them a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire in front of them to be able to lead them on their journey, to be able to show them that God is actually leading them through and they're not just wandering aimlessly through the wilderness. Got to turn to the right spot here so I actually read what I want to and not throw you guys on a crazy journey. All right. The Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by, bear with me with these names, Pi Hahira, between Migdal and the sea. Camp there along the shore, across from Baal Zephon. Then the Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden the Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When the word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officers changed their mind. What have we done letting those Israel slaves get away? They asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with their commander. The Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fist raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers, his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they camped beside the shore near Pi Hahira, across from Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they seen the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone, let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It is better to be slaves in Egypt than corpses in the wilderness.'" So Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground." So the reason why I wanted to share this with you, the reason why I wanted to stop on this story of them camped before the Red Sea, is to watch as they, one, seen how God led them out of Egypt, how God rescued them from their slavery, and God brought them out, and he was still leading them. They had the pillar of smoke, they had the pillar of fire. Have you guys ever seen a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire that was moving and fall and like leading you on your way? Like, I mean, I'm not going to expect that on my trip back to Halifax, I'm going to be driving along and think like, all right, I know where I'm going because I see that pillar of fire ahead of me. It's not some crazy GPS that we all have. That they seen this massive sign that God was still there with them, that God was leading them. And when you go further in the story, it seems like the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke was sitting either over top of the Red Sea or on the other side. It was showing them where God wanted them to go. God wanted them to just have faith that he was showing them the right way. God says, why are you still here? Why did you stop? Why are you crying out to me? Just go, just follow what I have for you. But better than that, the people of Israel, the thanksgiving that they had for getting out of Egypt crumbled at the first sign of any confrontation, at the first sign of any challenge. They crumbled and they were brought to their knees. They actually wished that they were back in Egypt. So, they didn't let their thanksgiving turn into faith. And this becomes a cycle over and over again of God provides for them. God gives them food. And then, a couple chapters later, oh, we don't have any water, we're going to die. Why did you bring us out here? And then God provides again. And then again, they cry out, why did you bring us out here? They never let their faith be influenced by the thanksgiving that they once had. They don't remember the thankfulness that they had that God provided for them before. So how can we learn from the Israelites' mistakes? How can we do better than they did? And for one, I want to say that we have something that they didn't. We have something that they could only wish to have. And that's knowing much more of their story. I mean, we know what happened in that situation. We know that the Israelites got to the promised land. We watched as God provided for them year after year, despite their mistakes, despite their flaws, and the fact that God brought a Messiah to them. We know that God created everything. We know the story of the church. And we know what's coming. We know that because Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, that we're going to be reunited with God. And that we're going to be able to have eternity with him. We know things that the Israelites at that time could only dream of. So for one, we need to be using that to our advantage. But we also have something that they had as well. And that's our experience. That's our personal connection with God. What it is that God has done in our lives. I mean, again, I haven't seen any pillar of fires or pillar of smoke that they have. But who believes that God is working in this world today? Amen? Who believes that God is working in your life today? And who believes that God has a plan for you and he has laid something on your life to be able to go out and to push forward his kingdom? Amen? So we need to be looking at the ways that God has provided, the experience that we've had with God, that relationship that we have, and how that can affect the faith that we have, the thankfulness of the ways that God has provided before, and how that can turn into faith and thanksgiving in the future. We are called to be the hands and feet to push forward His kingdom. So how can we, practically, how can we do this? How can we remember the things that we're thankful for? How can we be more intentional about these things to be able to strengthen our faith? To be able to remember all the little things that God does for us. So that when things get hard, when things get tough, that we can remember these things that God has done, whether it's for us, whether it's for others, whether it's in the Bible, what can we do? And first off, we can be reading the Bible with the intention of looking for the ways that God has provided in the past. And the way that really this thanksgiving into faith is an overarching theme throughout the Bible. Whether you're looking at the big picture, whether you're looking at the little stories, this is a theme throughout. The fact of the Passover, that it was meant to be this feast, to look back and be thankful every year, to look back and be thankful for the way that God saved them from Egypt. It's this way to remember and to be able to reignite that fire of God provided for us before and He will provide again. And it's just so fitting that when we get to Jesus, when we hear the story, it's the Passover that comes out of what we do for communion today. That it was at the Passover that Jesus broke the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." And He takes the wine and He says, "This is my blood poured out for you. This is what I'm doing for you. Remember this. Have faith in this." He's saying, remember these things because it means so much that we remember them and that we let the faith that we have, that we let it sink down deep in our heart and that we let it change our lives forever. Another thing that we can do, we can be doing is we can be writing. Writing down all the little things. Keep a journal. Keep it under your pillow. Keep it under your bed. Keep it in your night drawer. But write down all the little things that you remember that God has done for you. And not just what it is, but how you feel, how God made you feel in that situation. All the little things about it. Whatever you can recall, write that stuff down. Because it's crazy how our mind can pervert these things to make us think, "Oh yeah, like I remember that, yes, God came through in that way, but like, did He really do it in that way?" Like we start to question the little details of, well, God came through, but really how much did He do? But if we write that down, we write down the feelings and the emotions that we have, and we write down what it is that He did, that's something that we can look back on and say, "This is how I felt in the moment." So when things are bad, we can know that this is what's happened before, and this is how we should be faithful to God in the future. We can be taking these things that we've written down and going to God in prayer. Having it as a reminder of, with every prayer session, start out, "Dear God, I want to thank You for whatever." Whatever it is that you're thankful for, and be able to have that with every prayer session so that it's a reminder of, "God, I'm thankful for these things, and because I'm thankful for the ways that You provided, I come to You with this request." And it will strengthen your faith in that request and in that way of coming before God. And I mean, it always feels nice to hear a thank you directed your way, right? And the last thing that I think that is really important to this piece is that we're sharing with others. We're sharing with others the ways that we're thankful, that we're meeting with other people, whether it's a small group, whether it's a church setting like this. And we share our testimony of the way that God's worked in our lives, the ways that God has been there, because our testimony is so much more than just how we came to know Jesus. There's an entire relationship with God after that first salvation that we need to be sharing with other people. We need to let the thanksgiving for everything that God's done in our lives be in our testimony so it can be there on display for others to see, and they can see it and say, it's amazing that God has provided in your life, and because he's provided in your life, he may provide in mine. Whether they believe that Jesus really died on their cross, whether they're saved, whatever their situation may be, if you're sharing that testimony and they see that God has provided for you in that way, it may spark a heart change. It may spark a life change. Don't just share how you came to know Jesus. Share everything else as well. Anyway, I'm getting on a bit of a rabbit trail there. But I'm going to wrap up with saying, how can we let the thanksgiving that we have, the thanksgiving that we have today, the thanksgiving that we've had yesterday or months ago, the thanksgiving that we will have, affect the faith that we have in God? And as you go, if you want to take a whiteboard marker, if you want to write it on a mirror, on a window, somewhere that you'll see it, write it in a book that you always look to. Write it in your journal. Just write down the four words of reading, writing, praying, and sharing. Just as a way for you to remember that these are four ways that practically we can do a more intentional job of looking at the thanksgiving that we have, to looking at the thanks that we have and how we can actually make something of that thanksgiving. By the way, Rodney, I really appreciated your pop-up testimony there, just because I was thinking he spoke my testimony or my sermon for me there. But yeah. So as we wrap up, as we end today, I'm not going to get the band to come up because I think I've taken some time, but we'll just wrap up, we'll pray, and I'll send you guys on your week.